Good morning. Today we again follow the order of service printed out in our bulletin. Our opening hymn today is hymn 794, The Lord My God Be Praised, hymn 794. Verses 169 to 176, and today we read these verses responsively with the congregation, reading those verses in bold type. Let my cry come near before you, O Lord. Give me understanding according to your word.
Let my supplication come before you. Deliver me according to your word.
My lips shall declare praise, for you have taught me your statutes.
My tongue shall speak your word, for all your commandments are right.
Let your hand help me, for I have chosen your precepts.
I have longed for your salvation, O Lord, and your law is my delight.
Let my soul live and praise you, and let your judgments come to my aid.
I have wandered like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments.
We pray.
O Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we come into your presence to seek your mercy, to hear your word, and to offer up our prayers and praises. Hear us for the sake of the Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and his atoning sacrifice on the cross for our sins. The Bible tells us in Psalm 130, if you, O Lord, should keep track of iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? And indeed, none of us could. But the psalm goes on to say, there is forgiveness with you that you may be feared. And the psalmist directs us to wait for the Lord, for mercy is found with the Lord. With him is great redemption. He shall redeem Israel from all their iniquities. Let us therefore confess our sins unto the Lord and look to him for mercy and forgiveness in the atoning sacrifice of Christ Jesus, who has redeemed us from all our iniquities. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you in our thoughts, desires, words, and deeds. We therefore flee for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking and imploring your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. For the sake of Jesus' holy life and his atoning sacrifice on the cross, I announce unto you the grace and mercy of God, and in the name and stead of Christ Jesus our Savior, proclaim to you forgiveness for all your sins through faith in Jesus' name. Amen. We confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed, which is printed out on the back cover of your hymnal. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended to heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. We continue by singing hymn 830, Spread the Reign of God the Lord. Thank you.
I ask you to please rise for the reading of the Holy Scriptures. Our scripture reading today is recorded in St. Paul's letter to the Romans in chapter 15, beginning at verse 14. Here St. Paul says, "Now I myself am persuaded concerning you, my brothers, that you also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and also able to instruct one another. Nevertheless, brothers, I have written even more boldly to you on some points to remind you, because of the grace that is given to me from God, that I might be a minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles in the priestly service of the gospel of God, so that the offering of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In Christ Jesus, therefore, I have reason to boast in my service to God, for I will not dare to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed, by the power, signs, and wonders, by the power of the Holy Spirit, that from Jerusalem and as far around as Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. So I have strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, so that I should not build on another man's foundation, but as it is written, to whom he was not announced, they shall see, and those who have not heard shall understand. For this reason also, I was often hindered from coming to you, but now no longer having a place in these regions, and having a great desire for many years to come to you, whenever I go to Spain, I shall come to you. For I hope to see you when I pass through and to be helped on my way there by you, when I have first enjoyed your company for a little while. But now I am going to Jerusalem to minister to the saints, for Macedonia and Achaia were pleased to make some contribution for the poor among the saints who are in Jerusalem. It has pleased them indeed, and they are debtors. For if the Gentiles have been partakers of their spiritual things, they also ought to minister to them in material things. Therefore, when I have completed this and have given this blessing to them, I shall come by way of you to Spain. And I know that when I come to you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. Now I ask you, brothers, through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me in your prayers to God on my behalf, that I may be delivered from the unbelievers in Judea, and that my ministry for Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints, so that I may come to you with joy by the will of God, and may be refreshed together with you. Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen." I ask you to bow your heads and join me in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray your blessing upon us as we consider the teaching of your word. We pray that we would be strengthened in our faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, that we would hold fast to him in faith unto life everlasting. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. As we continue through the book of Romans, we are now coming toward the close of the book, although as we read in St. Paul's letter here, we see that his closing is not exactly short, because his closing kind of carries on for two chapters in the book of Romans. We remember that this letter was written to a congregation of believers in Rome. And so I invite you to consider, you know, what would you think if we had received a letter from an apostle? And that's what this is like. It's a letter sent from the apostle Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to a group of believers in the city of Rome, the Roman capital. And Paul goes into great detail, instructing them in the teaching of the Christian faith, that they might be built up in the truth and Now we are looking at the closing portion of this letter. He begins by saying, "Now I myself am persuaded concerning you, my brothers, that you also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and also able to instruct one another." If you think about this, what a beautiful statement of Paul's confidence in the maturity of this congregation of believers in Rome. He is persuaded concerning them that they are full of goodness. Now, this does not mean goodness in the sense of they are doing good works to please God and be pleasing by works, but what it's talking about is that they are exhibiting the fruits of the Christian faith, that they are maturing in the Christian faith and holding fast to the truth of God's word. And so Paul is persuaded, and he calls them my brothers, you know, that they are full of goodness, that they are being filled up to overflowing with God's working in their lives. And he says, filled with all knowledge and also able to instruct one another. In other words, they were filled again to the overflowing with the knowledge of God and his word. And they were even able to instruct and admonish each other. They were able to build each other up with God's word. And this, of course, is the result of preaching and teaching God's word. That when a congregation is taught from the word of God, they are made strong in the faith. They are filled with all goodness. They're holding to the truth. They're holding to the righteousness of God, which is imputed to them through faith in Jesus Christ. They are living a life for their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. They have a knowledge of the truth. And as a result, they're even able to encourage and build each other up in the faith. I think of the many passages which speak about, you know, admonishing and building each other up with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart to the Lord. They were able, if a brother strayed, to go to them with God's word and say, you know, this is the wrong way to go. This is leading to your ruin, and to direct them back to the cross of Christ and to the word of God and to walking in his ways. And certainly this should be a goal of every congregation, that every congregation of believers should be seek to be holding fast to the truth of God's word, so that they are filled with all goodness, that they are filled with all knowledge, that they know the truth, they know the scriptures, and that they are able to instruct and encourage and admonish each other in the truth of God's word. Not just the pastor, but all the members are to be built up in the truth of God's word. I know I have read this to you before, but in Ephesians chapter 4, it speaks about God giving pastors, but also it says he gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastor and teacher, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the service, and for the building up of the body of Christ, until we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, into a complete man, to the measure of the stature, the fullness of Christ. So we may no longer be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness with deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ himself, from whom the whole body is joined together and connected by every joint and ligament, as every part effectively does its work and grows, building itself up in love. And I pointed out to you before, the job of pastor, the role of pastor teacher is to equip you so that you can minister, so that you can carry out what God has entrusted to you to do, so that we can all build each other up. And notice it says, you know, it's through the working of every part, that we are built up to be, you know, in the image or the stature of our Lord Jesus Christ, become more and more like Jesus Christ each and every day. And so St. Paul here, in writing to the Romans, speaks of their being able to instruct and encourage and build each other. They are working together as a congregation to encourage and keep each other in the truth of God's word and holding fast to the Lord Jesus Christ. He goes on to say at verse 15, "Nevertheless, brothers, I have written even more boldly to you on some points to remind you, because of the grace that is given to me from God, that I might be a minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles in the priestly service of the gospel of God, so that the offering of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit." Now, St. Paul is one to not shy away from using lots of words to explain what it is he's teaching. But he points out that he has written to them, even though he's never been to Rome, to this congregation, he's written to them quite boldly, or, you know, we might say he is very forward in his addressing them. And if you look at his letter, you know, he begins by pointing out, you know, who are you who think that you're righteous? Because we've all done the same things. He points out their utter sinfulness and the fact that the only way to be saved is to acknowledge our sins and to look to Jesus and trust in Jesus and his cross. And then he shows how this is the way Abraham was saved. This is the way David is saved. This is why Christ died in order and rose again, so that we might trust in him and be saved. He's very much to the point, but he speaks the truth in love. His desire is to build them up in the truth, to strengthen them in the truth, so that they hold to the Lord Jesus Christ. And notice, you know, and of course, this is a really good example for all ministers and for all Christians. We are to be bold in our speech. It doesn't say abrasive. We're not to try to go out and stir up trouble for ourselves or stir up animosity. But we're to be bold enough to speak the truth in love, that when opportunity comes, we might have to point out to somebody, you know, you trust in your own righteousness, but the Bible points out that if you break even one commandment, you're guilty of all. The Bible points out that the wages of sin is death. Even one sin is death, eternal damnation. You need a Savior, and that Savior is Jesus Christ, because he kept them for you. He kept the commandments in your place. He paid the price for your sins when he suffered and died on the cross and rose again. So we might need to speak boldly, and certainly we should speak the truth, always speak the truth in love for our fellow man. Notice that he says that he might be a minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles in the priestly service of the gospel of God, so that the offering of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Here St. Paul compares his preaching of the gospel, his ministry, to the Old Testament priesthood. Now, if you think back to the Old Testament priesthood, you read in Leviticus, and you see that certain sacrifices were to be offered by the priest. The priest couldn't just say, well, you know, I think this would be a good sacrifice, or I think that would be a good sacrifice, or we can mix this together and burn it as incense. Some tried that before, and fire came down from heaven and consumed them. The Bible is very precise as exactly what sacrifices were to be offered and what sacrifices would be acceptable to God. This is also true when we speak of a ministry as offering a sacrifice to God. In order for Paul's ministry to be successful, you know, if we were speaking of a successful ministry before men, we might think, well, you know, whoever gets the most people to come into their mega church, you know, this is a successful ministry. But in order for a ministry to be successful before God, the sacrifice needs to be offered in accord with what God directs. And notice St. Paul says, you know, very clearly here that he might minister to Jesus Christ to the Gentiles in the priestly service of the gospel of God, so that the offering of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. So it is not an offering of, you know, whoever offers the most, but rather an offering to be acceptable to God must be through the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because, you know, you can have a mega church, but if you are not preaching the gospel, if you're not calling on people to repent of their sins and look to Jesus and his cross as the only way of salvation, if you're not teaching that the only way for us sinners to be saved is to flee to the cross and look to God to show us mercy because of Jesus' atoning sacrifice, all the people you offer to God, all the souls that you minister to, are not going to be acceptable to God. Because the only way to be acceptable in God's eyes is through faith in Jesus Christ. You might have noticed that in our bulletin, which I've been using this each Sunday in the invocation, instead of just saying in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, which is fine to do, I have a prayer there because we are invoking the name of God upon ourselves, but we're also calling upon him in prayer. But notice it says, we come into your presence to seek your mercy, to hear your word, and to offer up our prayers and praises. Hear us for the sake of the Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and his atoning sacrifice on the cross for our sins. The only way you and I can come into God's presence and have him accept our prayers and praises, our worship, is through faith in the sacrifice of his Son, Jesus Christ. St. Paul speaks of the Gentiles who have come to faith, as well as many Jews who came to faith under his ministry, as them being a sacrifice to God. And why are they acceptable to God? They're acceptable to God because Paul ministered to them and preached the gospel, and they came to trust that it's only for the sake of Jesus and his death on the cross that they are forgiven and acceptable to God, and that they are his people. As a pastor, my job is to preach the gospel, to preach and teach God's word so that God's Holy Spirit, who, as it says here, that they are sanctified by the Spirit, so that God's Holy Spirit can work through the preaching of his word to bring people to faith in Jesus Christ so that they are presented to God holy and acceptable, not by their own works, but through faith in Jesus Christ. And of course, this also applies to each one of us. It's not just pastors who are priests, because the Bible says in 1 Peter that we are a kingdom of priests, that we all serve as priests before God and we worship and serve God. Well, how is it that our sacrifices, our worship is accepted before God? How is it that our ministry, so to speak, in the sense of sharing the gospel with friends and loved ones and children, how is this acceptable to God? Only when we are preaching and sharing the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, so that people do not think, well, God's going to accept me by, you know, the good life I live, or, you know, how I dress, or what I sing, or what I say, but that people will, that I will be accepted to God, before God, solely for the sake of Jesus and his shed blood. And so this is certainly, I think, a beautiful passage and reminder that Paul's focus was on the gospel. He didn't go into each church and set up the best praise band and have the best music. He went and preached the gospel. He went and shared with people their utter sinfulness, their unworthiness before God, and then he pointed them to Jesus and his cross as the way that God has provided for them to be acceptable in his sight. And that, of course, is our task today. He says, in Christ Jesus, therefore, I have reason to boast in my service to God, for I will not dare to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed, by the power of signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and as far around as Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. So I have strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, so that I should not build on another man's foundation, but as it is written, to whom he was not announced, they shall see, and those who have not heard shall understand. And so Paul boasted in his ministry, but he didn't boast in himself. His boast was in what God was doing through his humble preaching of the gospel. And the reason he desired to go to Spain was he wanted to preach the gospel because he is sent out by Christ to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. He wanted to take the gospel where it had not yet been preached. And so he desired to, you know, he had preached through Asia Minor. Then he had preached in Macedonia and Achaia in Greece. And then he wanted to go on from there. Rome is in Italy on the way. And then from there, the next stop is Spain, traveling the Mediterranean Sea. And so he would go on and preach the gospel in Spain because the gospel had come to Rome without even Paul going there, because people that he had ministered to, many of them had gone on to Rome and were there. And so he desired to go on to Spain, and he was boastful of his ministry, but not boastful of himself, which should teach us a lot of things today, that, you know, we should not boast or be proud of our work, but rather we should be thankful when God graciously works through us to touch the souls and lives of other people so that they come to faith in Jesus Christ and become a part of his everlasting kingdom. The quote here is from Isaiah 52, verse 15, where it definitely is speaking about the gospel being preached in places where it has never been heard, gospel going to the Gentiles. Then Paul speaks of his plan to go on to visit Rome. He says, for this reason also I was often hindered from coming to you, but now no longer having a place in these regions and having a great desire for many years to come to you, whenever I go to Spain, I shall come to you, for I hope to see you, and when I pass through to be helped on my way there by you, when I have first enjoyed your company for a little while. And so he speaks about, you know, you can see the closeness of the Apostle Paul with fellow believers. He indeed regarded them all as brothers and sisters of Christ, his family, and he longed to come and spend some time with them to encourage them and be encouraged by them, and then helped on his way to Spain so that he might go to Spain and preach the gospel there where it had not been heard. He says, but now I am going to Jerusalem to minister to the saints. For Macedonia and Achaia were pleased to make some contribution for the poor among the saints who are in Jerusalem. And when you read in Paul's letters, you see him collecting an offering for the saints, or in the book of Acts, collecting an offering from the saints from the churches in Greece, Macedonia and Achaia, two provinces or parts of Greece. And the congregations there, since they had received the gospel which had come out from Jerusalem originally, here are concerned for their fellow believers in Jerusalem, especially since there had been a famine. And so they took up a collection every Sunday when they met, and they set it aside until Paul and his companions came and take it, and they were going to take it to Jerusalem to help support the believers there in Jerusalem at this time. So a good indication that, you know, this letter was written in the 60s AD and not after 70, because after 70 AD, Jerusalem was destroyed by the Romans. And so it kind of helps a little bit with dating some of these things to know that, you know, Jerusalem is still there. The saints haven't fled from Jerusalem because they see the Roman armies coming and know from Jesus' warning that they should not go back into Jerusalem, but they should flee. He says, it has pleased them indeed, speaking about the saints in Greece and Macedonia and Achaia, it has pleased them indeed, and they are their debtors. For if the Gentiles, having been partakers of their spiritual things, they also ought to minister to them in material things. And so, you know, the Gentiles were served by the Jewish believers in spiritual things, having heard the gospel and come to faith in Christ, so they should share with them their material things. He says, therefore, when I have completed this and have given this blessing to them, I shall come by way of you to Spain. And I know that when I come to you, I shall come the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. And so he looks forward to coming to them, and, you know, he comes in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. In other words, the full result of the gospel. And he looks forward to sharing it. The last part of this chapter, he says, now I ask you, brothers, through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me in your prayers to God on my behalf. And how important it is to be praying for our fellow believers, and especially for those who are preaching and sharing the gospel. He asked them that they pray that I may be delivered from the unbelievers in Jerusalem, and that my ministry from Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints, so that I may come to you with joy by the will of God and may be refreshed together with you. And so he asked them to pray that he might be delivered from the Jews in Jerusalem and come there in joy and be refreshed by them and spend some time with them there in Rome before he goes on. Of course, we know that didn't work out exactly the way he hoped, because he was arrested in Jerusalem. He had to appeal to Caesar to save his life because the Jews were plotting to kill him, and he knew he wasn't going to get a fair trial there. So he appeals to Caesar, and after spending more than a year in prison, he finally takes that voyage to Rome, which included visiting saints along the way, as well as being shipwrecked and ending up on an island off the coast of southern Italy for a time until they can sail on to Rome. And then he does see the believers in Rome. He does minister to them. At some point, according to tradition, then he is condemned and spends time probably in the dungeons, which were kind of below the streets, and was finally beheaded. But according to some tradition, that he was freed for a time and maybe did get to go on to Spain and then came back to Rome. But we don't know for certain whether he ever got to go to Spain or not. I know that St. James is often the patron saint of the Spanish because you have San Diego or Santiago named after him, but I don't know whether that means that one of the Jameses actually went to Spain to preach the gospel there or not. And he closes this with the simple blessing, now the God of peace be with you all. Very simple little blessing, but it says so much. The God of peace. You know, in Hebrew, we would think of the word shalom. The God who brought about peace by sending his son to die for our sins and pay the price on the cross, that you and I might trust in Jesus and have peace with God. And so he's the God of peace. He's the God who reaches out to us in mercy, like the father of the prodigal son that we talked about in Bible class today. He reaches out to us in mercy, and he grants us forgiveness and peace with him and everlasting life when we look to him in faith. God grant that we also seek to present our sacrifices to God through the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, through faith in Jesus Christ, not based on anything that we do or any work that we do, but it's all what God does in us through his word. And God grant to us peace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Shalom. Amen. Again, I ask you to please stand, and if you would turn in your bulletin to the offertory, we will read this together in unison. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with your willing spirit. Amen. You may be seated. We continue by bringing forward our offering. I invite you to please stand and join with me in prayer. Merciful Father, for the sake of the shed blood of your Son, Christ Jesus, forgive us for failing to walk by faith in the promises of your word. Move us to read and study our Bibles regularly, and to come before you with our petitions and praises. Keep us from being overcome by our sinful inclinations, and preserve us in the true and saving faith unto life everlasting. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
O Christ Jesus, eternal Son of God and our Savior, you gave your life for ours when you died on the cross and made atonement for our sins. Bless the work of our pastor and congregation, and of faithful pastors, missionaries, and congregations everywhere, so that your life-giving word might be proclaimed among us and among the peoples of the world, and those who hear might repent of their sins and look to you and your cross for pardon and forgiveness. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
O Holy Spirit, do not forsake us because of our weakness and disobedience to your word. Be patient with us and move us to continually repent of our sins and look in faith to our Savior for mercy. Teach us from your word, strengthen and keep us in the true and saving faith. Lord, in your mercy. O loving and merciful God, our nation and people are living in darkness are under your wrath and judgment. Open the eyes and ears of our people and rulers that they might see and hear the truth of your word. Repent of their evil deeds and fall down at the feet of Jesus, pleading for pardon and forgiveness, and then seeking to walk in your ways, that your judgment may be turned away and your eternal wrath against us be averted. Lord, in your mercy. O healer and preserver of our bodies and souls, as you have promised, we ask you to provide for all our needs and to preserve us from all harm and danger and all evil. We lift up to you those among us who are afflicted. We remember especially today Linda, Joyce, Carl, Richard, Harley, and Donna, and all others we name in our hearts. Have mercy upon us, grant healing to the sick, comfort to the oppressed, and strength for all to endure the troubles and afflictions of this life, in the hope of everlasting glory.
for the sake of Christ Jesus, our Savior and Lord. Lord, in your mercy. Amen. We pray the prayer which our Lord Jesus has taught us. Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated. We continue our worship by singing hymn 619, the first three verses, Thy body given for me, O Savior. I have received of the Lord that which I deliver to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he took the cup after he had supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. I ask you to come forward. Lord bless you and keep you in his baptismal grace. Take and eat. This is a true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. Savior Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins. May this holy body and precious blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Depart in peace, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you for Jesus' sake. Amen. O Lord Jesus Christ, Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, we thank you for fulfilling all righteousness in our stead, and then taking upon yourself the guilt and punishment for all our sins, and making full atonement for us by your perfect sacrifice on the cross. And we thank and praise you for giving us to partake of your one holy sacrifice, that we might also partake of the blessings you won for us by your death, and have made sure to us by your glorious resurrection. Strengthen and keep us in the true and saving faith, and move us to live our lives for you while we await your glorious return and the joys of your everlasting kingdom. Amen. Receive now the benediction of the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. You may be seated. We sing verses 4 and 5 of hymn 619, Thy Body Given for Me, O Savior.
Of my cheer, for he who is our
Again, a welcome to all of you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Not a lot of announcements to make, although maybe a couple of things I can explain. The September voters meeting, is it good with everybody to wait a week? If so, we'll have it next week so we can have the financial reports. So. We won't blame Christina, but somebody forgot. Of course, I didn't make up an agenda either, so somebody else forgot to get it all done too, probably. But so we will do that next Sunday. I wanted to explain one thing. We can talk about it next Sunday, but I just want to explain a little bit. In order for us to use the LSB for services, the use of hymns, we are allowed a one-time use of most of the hymns. There's a couple that are not included in this, but I went ahead and approved getting a hymn license for the LSB. So we're all right just here ourselves, but because this goes beyond on the web, we have to have a hymn license, and there are several things that I need to print with each service to show, you know, that we're using this hymn license. So I will do that. I'm not sure whether one-time use allows us to put it out there in more than one way or not, but I'm thinking maybe not. But it wasn't the Facebook thing wasn't working out too well anyway. I tried to do it, and it was difficult to hear. And so I figured I would just use the recording. It comes up on the church website, so it's easy to direct people there. They just go to the worship tab or the podcast and worship tab on the website, and it's right there at the top, so you can go right to our website and listen. It avoids all kinds of confusion by saying, well, go here for this, go there for this. So that's what I have done. If we decide at some point we want to use some of the liturgies from there, there's another license for $45 to get that. I did tell the person I talked to, you know, it seems like Concordia Publishing House is willing to give the gospel to anybody who will pay for it. But if you can't, too bad. I said, I know there's nothing you can do about it. But, you know.
Would it be beneficial just go ahead and get the license for the liturgy?
I can. It's no problem just to order it. If the congregation wants me to, I can do that. That way, if we wanted to use, I'm assuming if we use the, I forget which setting is, the third setting?
Fourth
setting, which is the common service. Oh, that's the third, is the common service. I'm assuming if we use that, I can't see how they would be able to copyright that since it's only been used for more than 500 years. But any of the others certainly are new, but they probably changed a word or two or have something slightly different in the music, so it might be copyrighted. So it'd be safer to have it if we ever want to use the liturgy from the hymnal. And it's not too bad, just $45 a year, where the other's $125 a year. That also requires us to be careful what we put online in regard to any other music that we use, to make sure it's in public domain. Otherwise, technically, you have to contact the copyright owner and get permission and pay any fees that are required, which would pretty much require me to be working months ahead of time in order to get that done. And then I assume if you plan to use a certain song and you email the copyright owner and they didn't respond, that you can't use it. I don't know. But that's kind of the world we live in. Any other questions or comments this morning?
Well, Pastor, I might mention, you talked about selling the gospel. We had several Bibles out on the table out that we took down to Potter's house that, you know, none of the congregation wanted, so we took it to Potter's house. They have a table by the exit, and they get their Bibles for free.
Okay. Well, that's good. Yeah. And I know we've mentioned this, that we did give a bunch of other hymnals that we're not using and songbooks and Bibles to a church that's starting up, and we hope they put them to good use. So, anything else this morning? I'm going to stop this when we, in your hymnal, you might find a sheet of paper that looks like this. So that we can sing along with the last thing, but I'm assuming it's copyrighted by somebody. And so I'm going to stop the recording here, but we'll be back at worship again next Sunday here. God's blessings.